Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margo Joy Denader, and I'm a coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of a book titled The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have my inspiring friend, Cara Brown, who is an award-winning watercolor artist, teacher, and writer, back as my guest. Join us for a conversation about art, beauty, creativity, and love. Welcome, Cara.
Thank you, Margo Joy. How fun to be with you today.
I know. I thought it would be so fun to have you on Valentine's Day, or what I like to think of as Love Day, because it's love of all kinds, not just romantic love. It's just love. L-O-V-E,
oh, yeah.
All in caps.
which, you know, if one really, really, really kind of goes way out, I mean, who is it, Pierre de Chardin, that paleontologist priest from the 20th century, deep thinker, he thought that love was the force of God in the universe. I mean, it actually is the force of the universe, is love. It's attraction,
what I feel.
It's gravity.
That's what feels and sounds true to me.
Yeah. So you were just telling me before we went on that you're still nursing your tender heart because you've lost your kitty, and you were saying how much we love our animals. And when you asked me to come on today, and we said that we were going to talk about love, my orientation is for love is because I'm in the midst of writing this book, and there's a section all on love, and it's how love is this guiding force in our lives. And when I was you know, on my way as a watercolor showing my work, I wasn't yet teaching, but we lost our dog in an accident, and it was really tragic and sudden, and it was really hard. And my first instinct was, I want to paint him. Mm-hmm. You know, they have photos of him. I could still do that. While I still remembered what it felt like to touch him, you know, while I still had that depth in me.
Yeah, I know what
and,
you mean.
And that's love. Don't you think that's love?
Oh, totally. I mean, and the thing is that, you know, people have all these names for love, romantic love, unconditional love, this love, that love, whatever. But to me, love is just love, and love by itself is just so strong, and it just radiates out of the animals and the people that you love and the things that you love to do. I mean, it's just, you know, I was thinking a lot today, I don't know if it was just today, but today I'm focusing on the word appreciation also, and realizing that love is appreciation, and appreciation is love. They're, you know, they're pretty much, to me, the same thing. And I don't know. I'm just a little choked up right now because you were talking about,
about
Bender. But no, it's okay. I mean, a lot of people don't know that Bender has become an angel. And we, excuse me, well, it was on January 19th, so we've had a little while to get used to it, but this is our first Valentine's Day without Bender physically here, although I feel him here, you know. But, yeah, and Dudley even made a really, speaking of making things for love, he made a Valentine card to both of us, he and I, that has a picture of Bender on it sitting up, and he's got, it says, Happy Valentine's Day, Mom and Dad, and then Bender's got a red rose in his mouth. You know, he's like pulling it sideways. And, you know, I mean, it's so funny, too, because we couldn't put the roses, when I'd get roses, we couldn't put them on the coffee table when we had Bender here because, of course, he would want to eat them. So I always put them on the shelves over in my writing area, and that's where most of the pictures of my roses I've gotten over the years have been. But they're on the coffee table right now next to Bender's little box of him. And then now we have this card. So, you know, I'm so thankful for every single moment we had with him. He was just such a kindred spirit, excuse me, and so much, such so full of love. But
yeah,
I don't want to...
Nothing like loving pets. But So what I sort of was feeling into as I was thinking about this conversation is how incredibly personal love is, you know, unique to each of us. And in tuning in to what it is we love, like I love the first lines of Mary Oliver's Wild Geese poem. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk through the desert for 100 miles on your knees repenting. You mm-hmm. only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. And it just does. It just loves what it loves. And in fact, I don't think that we actually choose what we love, that there's somehow maybe it even chooses us. But we just do. I mean, whether this is people of a certain gender or not, you know, people, kind of illustrate this a little bit, I can't mm-hmm. tell you how many people over the years that I've been showing my art will send me photographs of flowers or tell me that they saw this amazing flower display and that I come to mind. I come to mind when people see flowers because I love flowers so much that that's the primary thing that I paint, and I've put that out into the world. And so mm-hmm. I am now a flower person because I love flowers. It's like a filter that we see the world through what it is we love. And mm-hmm. my brother loves the tropics, and he has an 8-foot-long tropical reef fish tank in his living room, so much that he had to reinforce the floor to support the weight of it. Good thing he's a contractor. And he tends this thing lovingly, you know. So we see tropical fish stuff, and we think of my brother. You know, it's like what we love becomes who we are. It's like a reflection, and a filter. It's quite something.
Yeah. I'm really resonating with everything you're saying. I really love that. And, you know, like you have said before, the title of my show, Live Your Music, it's not just about music. It means to do what you love, do what your heart desires, not ego dreams. It's spirit dreams. In other words, what your spirit feels like it's here to do, what excites you, what really makes you come alive, that sort of thing. And so it's individual to each person what their music is, and it can be. And I think in a way it's a good idea to have it be more than one thing, you know? So, yeah.
Well,
definitely.
It either is or it isn't. You know, there's people who love all kinds of things, and then there's people who like throw themselves into one thing because that's who they are. It's what they've come here to express. But you use that word resonate. You know, you resonate with what I said. And uh-huh. I think that's what Chardin was saying. It was Teilhard de Chardin. People usually call him Teilhard. Anyway,
right.
what his whole philosophy was is, like, it is resonance is love. Attraction is love. Mm-hmm. The way the earth holds us down with gravity, that's a form of love. It's such an inescapable thing, this love that we are living in, that we make into candy and hearts and roses today, but
right,
which is not a bad thing. Those are all wonderful things. It's just that if we think about it, it can be enormous. It can be just enormous. And that and that I think that if we're going to take the art even further into mm-hmm. this whole love thing, mm-hmm. there's a lot of flavors to it. You know, sometimes, I don't know if it's like this when you're writing a song, but you mm-hmm. might get stuck like we do in our paintings. Mm-hmm. And then we don't actually love it, don't feel that love so much. But mm-hmm. I think that it's a real relationship what we have with our work, and that sometimes we might need a little space from it, you know, to like hold, like, I don't want to be with my husband 24/7. We need time away from each other in order to
right.
refresh our connection with each other. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be kind of the same with our work. I mean, I'm this whole little thing that I wrote for a blog post, and I'm going to put it in my book. I don't remember when the last time I was on, but I've got a little podcast going myself too. It's It's not a live one, like you're so brave that you do all the time. But it's on, I know, here we are live. It's on, you know, Apple and Spotify and all that, but called
right.
Watercolor Conversations with Cara Brown. And I talked about it in here. But anyway, you know, like we start out with an idea that something that we want to create or do, and
mm-hmm.
it's like a crush, you know, like, oh,
yeah.
I want to do this. Right?
I know.
And then we dive in with all this hope, and then we get to a spot and it's like, oh God, this isn't really working out. And, you know, I don't know what to do next, or, you know, we kind of get a little, but that's how it is with relationships. Love isn't always one flavor. So anyway,
I love the way you describe that. Love isn't always one flavor. And that is, it really just resonates with me also. It's just so true in so many ways. And you were talking about Pierre, I can never say his name, Pierre.
Yeah, I know. it's not an easy name. Teilhard de Chardin, yes.
But, you know, I also love what he said about how we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience, or an animal experience, or whatever else it is, you know. And that has always felt so true to me, that we're spirits that are here as either humans or as animals, or who knows, maybe even as palm trees.
Palm trees are
people
too. Palm trees are people too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all people. Cats, dogs, horses,
yeah.
Bunnies,
all...
and palm trees. Well, anyway, so before you
go
on, though, okay, about your book. So I don't remember if you mentioned the name of it, but I love the you said it's tentatively titled You as Artist, A Companion for the Inner Path. I love that title. I can't wait to read it.
Well, you know, it came, so there's definitely more than one book in me, because if all of the people who have painted with me, if all I ever do is have conversations at the level that you are, write it at the same level that you and I are having this conversation,
mm-hmm.
they would be disappointed. They'd want to know the watercolor side, the practical side. And so I was initially thinking that it would be one big book. So, you know, sort of like those cookbooks where there are stories and recipes. I was thinking it was going to be
right.
sort of that sort of style. And then I realized that I could possibly have it be helpful for people who are not watercolorists if I pulled the more sort of philosophical inner journey part of it out and had that as a separate book, and then did so the other book, the tentative title is You as Watercolorist, A Practical Guide. So
I
that's
love
is
that.
A,
yeah, and I love that idea of having them be two separate books. And I love books. I totally love books. I have to say, though, that sometimes the ones that are too big, though, get overwhelming, you know. So I'd rather have it be at least two books. And definitely an art book with your art, and maybe even having some of your students' art in it at some point.
Oh, absolutely. It wouldn't just
yeah,
be
I mean, that
yeah,
could
yeah.
definitely be even a coffee table book. It would just, you know, with some quotes and poems or whatever. I don't know. Whatever your heart desires, Cara, I'm sure it's going to be wonderful.
Well, that's the third book.
Oh.
See, that's the third book, and it would be called my business name, my work name, Life in Full Color. So
I love that. I've always loved your business name.
So we're talking three books now. To get ambitious.
Oh, that is so cool. That is like the best news I've heard, and it's what a great thing to learn about today on what I call Love Day. You know, that is so totally full of love. Three books.
Thank you.
Things that you love.
So the book that I'm working on now, The You as Artist,
mm-hmm.
was what I really started thinking about the audacious idea that I could write a book based on kind of reviewing the collection of journal entries that I did. Most people call it a blog. I, for some reason, like the word journal better for writing. And So I thought, well, there's all these ideas, and I could collect them together and kind of have them be at least a bunch of seeds for a book. And so I've been kind of grappling with how much just to use and how much to rewrite, and I'm learning that a lot of it really does need to get rewritten. But mm-hmm. I had no idea when my business coach at the time in 2014 challenged me to start writing every week. And I didn't know what I was going to write about. I first wrote about the big, huge oak tree that's in my front yard because there was a story going on with that at the time. And then I just, you know, the next thing and the next thing. And a little bird that I found dead in the street. And, you know, I mean, I was all these things that I was finding all these ideas that I could write about. But where I ended up with most, like the heart of the, it was 3.5 years of writing every single week, that is this kind of intersection of human being and being a creator and making art and, like that whole kind of dynamic, you know, what it means to be a beginner and what it means to have judging voices and the influence and support of community and just the mystery of it all. Like all these are, and then our love. I mean, there's a section of the book and it's called Your Love. And it's how what we love, you know, is this kind of filter / beacon / you know, revealer of who it is we are inside and what it is we're about. So it's just super simple. What do you love? What do you care about? What lights you up? What, using your word, has resonance for you? So that's it. So this is the hard one. I think the practical book is going to come out much more. But the layout is going to be more complicated because it's going to be, you know, photographs and captions and all of that. But this is the, like, I'm kind of working through the making it a nice consistent piece of writing for the supporting of that inner path as we become creators.
I love that. So that's going to be the first book then, right? The one that you mentioned, You as Artist. A companion for the inner path. Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited about all three, but I'm super curious now to read what you have to say about the inner path and all of that. Oh, this is like such great news. I just knew that I had to have you on today, and I had no idea that where this conversation was going to really go, other than that I wanted it to be about love, as in love for everything and everyone, and for ourselves too. You know, so many people don't know what's, I like to call it, sparks joy for you. What sparks joy for you? Because it really, to me, that it really means, I hadn't thought about it until right now as I'm saying this, but it means to me that it's something you love, if it sparks joy for you. And yet, I think that that's a way that people can look at it, not where just, well, what do I love, and do I love this and not that, or whatever. So many different things can spark joy for you and also can spark love for you, I think. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
I think it's all one and the same.
Yeah.
Right? And there even may be, like, it's not everybody who makes art, you know, and I'm talking, you know, music and visual art and everything,
right,
wants to have it be what we would call positive, life-affirming. Sometimes people, like all the songs that have been written about heartbreak, right?
Uh-huh.
That there's, maybe it's not always a joy, but it sparks, you know? Like, there's that, yes, that thing, you know, that that I, there's a longing to make a connection of some sort, you know. That's the thing that I think Teilhard's talking about, is that connection, you know, that attraction connection thing. That Father Richard Ward says that God isn't a being, but that God is actually relationship. God is the dance. God is the movement between things in the world, between beings, between whatever. And that it's like that, you know, and that sometimes that movement is a movement that reveals the struggle and because life is, there is struggle, and there always will be. You know, I mean, it just how it is. And we want for it to always be happy and beautiful, and but that's just not how it's set up.
No,
incarnation means struggle.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we've talked about this when you've been on before, but, you know, people look at me and they think that I'm always happy and always up and always cheerful and everything. And I have my moments, you know. I have my moments where I feel sad or I feel down, or like with this thing with losing Bender, feeling a wave of grief come through, you know, that sort of thing. But I know how to work myself back up to feeling good again, you know. And so it's, I don't know, I think that's one of the things that some people get stuck in sometimes, into the sadness or the grief or the depression. And something I was reading in a quote by Wayne Dyer this morning, he was talking about that all depression and that sort of thing is inertia. It's like not wanting to do anything, not moving. He says, do anything, do something. You have to just get moving and get it going. And that's part of how you figure out what you love, too, is by trying things and exploring and being willing to try different things, I think. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's no question that that we can get in a place. I mean, I you know, just what was it, Monday, 2 days ago,
mm-hmm.
I was talking to someone in the morning, and she said, how are you? And I said, I'm feeling flat today. Like the
mm-hmm.
world's not lost its enchantment to me, you know, like there's no spark and sparkle. And what she suggested I do is to spend some time going inside. That often
mm-hmm.
that's that way, because we're, you know, like the outside world's losing it because the inside world wants us, you know. When I mean losing its appeal, losing its allure, because the inside world's wanting us. And you know, one thing that we can really, really count on, and that is that everything shifts in future moments, you know. Nothing stays just as it is. So I think that's also something that we can kind of rely on, is, you know, if you don't like how things are for right now, just wait a minute, they'll be different, you know. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And
yeah.
Sometimes for the better,
yeah.
And sometimes not for the better in your opinion,
right.
Or whatever. But I mean,
right.
I do believe that it's all part of what's supposed to happen, and that everything happens for a reason. I don't know. I mean, sometimes it's real hard to figure that out. But and also that everything happens in divine timing.
Right.
And divine timing isn't necessarily our timing, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's really hard to swallow.
I mean, if
sometimes.
It was my timing, Bender, would, for example, would be here until he's like 25 or 30, you know, instead of 13. But
yeah.
You know, divine timing took him. And, you know, there's another quote I saw this morning that came up in my reminders on Facebook that was Don Miguel Ruiz, another one I have trouble pronouncing his name, but I love his work. And he said, let everything we do and say be an expression of the beauty in our heart, always based on love, and love's all in caps in the little image that I saw. And I'm going to share it in my Instagram stories, maybe even on the Instagram later, that poster, because reshare it, because it's just such a beautiful one. But it's a reminder that, like you said, the expression of beauty in our heart, I love that.
Mm.
It reminded me of you, and so I wrote it down in my notes here.
But what I want to not lose sight of is
uh-huh.
that had I had children like I so wanted to, I would not be living this life. I would not. I know I wouldn't. That desire that I had to hold my
mm-hmm.
own babies, that's never, ever going to happen in this life,
mm-hmm.
fueled me to do something else that I would not have had the courage to do. It was a force, you know. So sometimes, like, you know, it not turning out, it not being as we want it to be, will catalyze something entirely new. There's another teacher, like we're talking about these big, powerful teachers today, Cynthia Bourgeau. Do you know who she is? Anyway,
mm-mm.
She's a mystic and a She's something, and she has a teaching that she has a whole book called the Law of Three, and
the
it
what
is the L-A-W of Three, and that it talks about the three forces, and this being she calls it the drive shaft of evolution. Like, this is what makes everything happen on Earth. Is there's the affirming force, there's the denying force, and there's a reconciling force. And when the affirming and denying forces are at odds with each other, the reconciling force comes in and takes the whole thing to another paradigm, another level, a fourth place, or another level that's another place that's a level up. So if I look at my life, my affirming force was that I wanted children. Really badly. I mean, I've been married twice, and my first husband asked me to marry him in front of a group of people at a restaurant, and I did not say yes or no. I said, I want kids. I mean, I was 25, and I wanted kids.
Right.
And
I've always wanted to be a mom, too, so I can totally relate to that.
Yeah. And so the denying force is that I didn't, and that I couldn't, and that adoption just that my place in life wasn't a path for me. So those two things were at odds, and I was in a dark place.
Yeah,
and
I
the
can imagine.
Reconciling force came with realizing that I needed to do something with this grief.
Right.
That I needed to use it to good in my life. And I asked, it was a prayer. I said, God, please give me something that makes this life worth living. And, you know, like fully living. And the next thing I know, my friends are asking me to, I thought at first it was life coaching, and I signed up for life coaching classes. And then my friend asked me to do Marin Open Studios with her in 2007. And it was not long that it had me realize that this was my life. But as it really fully fleshed out when I started leading groups of watercolorists and then started teaching workshops and, you know, look at me, and I'm writing a book about creativity. None of this would have happened if I was busy running around with toddlers, changing diapers, taking kids to soccer, and all that. You know,
especially if you have more than one. Oh, my God. Then it gets really crazy. Yeah, we only have one. And, you know, we've only got 2 minutes left.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Have fun.
But I wish we had an hour now. But anyway, yeah. Wow, everything you said, I can't wait to re-listen to this, what we were saying, and hear it again. But I am so excited about your book. I love
Thank you. I love your encouragement.
You know, I'm sad for you that you didn't get to have kids, but you're right. I mean, it's like we wouldn't have this art, we wouldn't have your books that you're going to be writing, and we wouldn't have all of that, you know. So... Oh, Cara,
I just
love you.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry
I love you
about
so much.
I love you too, my dear.
Oh, God. It was so funny what you said, though, about doing these shows live. And what I love about it is that it makes me focus. You know, if it's not live or it's going to be edited, then I wouldn't have to focus. And so that's why I do mine live, is because it causes me to focus, and I like it being a conversation, and I always enjoy our conversations. I'm so thankful to have met you through your art because of the
Open
Studios. Well, okay, got a minute left before they cut us off. So what do you want to leave our listeners with real quick?
I'm just going to use Mary Oliver's words, and I'm going to say, let the soft animal of your body love what it loves today and the rest of your life. Just let yourself love whatever it is you love.
I love that. Let yourself love whatever it is you love. Oh, wow. Thank you for being you, and thank you for all of the ways that you love your music, including these new ways with the podcast and with your books, at least three of them, probably more. All right. Well, everyone, please share this show with your friends and family and let them experience Cara and think about what they love and spread the love. Bye for now, Cara.
Bye, Margaret Joy. Thank you so much for having me for
You're
our
welcome.
Talk today. I loved it.
I love it, too. Bye. Bye now, everyone. Live your music.